don't care how dark the sky gets. I don't care how bleak the situation looks. When you give up hope, you have nothing left to live for. Glory to God. Open your Bibles this morning to Romans chapter 5. You know, just last week we celebrated Easter. You can call it Passover, you can call it Resurrection, whatever it was. I didn't come to celebrate bunnies and chicks. I came to celebrate a risen Lord, and that's why I prefer to celebrate the Resurrection. Let me say this as well. There's nothing wrong with having a spring celebration. We all love to see spring, amen? We love to see the grass popping up. And I mean, I know that sounds like a bad thing, but you know what? As much snow as we shoveled this year, I love to see the grass. It's not as hard as we are in this, still kind of in the season of celebrating. You know, we celebrate primarily one day, okay, but we should celebrate it year round. But I want you to ask yourself for just a moment, though, what would have it been like the week after? I mean, come on, they were probably still talking about it. They were so excited about what God had done. So, I mean, there is so much, would have been so much excitement the week after. And I think it would be amiss for us to just talk one Sunday about the resurrection. Because the resurrection only happened for one purpose. We're going to look at that right now. If you're in Romans chapter 5, go to verse 6. For when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. That'd be us. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You know, somewhere along the line, the gospel has gotten turned from that God died only for Christians. We're not perfect, we're just forgiven. We're all forgiven. We just have to accept it. Okay? And so, you know, this message has gotten out, and people think they don't dare step foot into church because, well, I'm not perfect yet. Well, I promise you, neither am I, but I'm striving towards it. And as long as we can, like we just shared with the lady, just as long as you continue to have hope and you can, what do you think the hope of glory is? That we can be perfect. That we can. And while we were still sinners, and that means that we were habitually sinning, that means people who were just doing it because it's all we knew. We were just doing it. We enjoyed it, which most of us did. And that's just what we did. That's what sinners do. So don't ever get... Now, I think there does come a limit when people need to watch their mouths. And we're in a world now where people don't do that anymore. There was a time in life, even the sinners knew, you watch your mouth when you're out in public. Today, that has gone by the wayside, and you've got 11-year-olds down at the playground who can make most people blush. And personally, it just makes me want to drag them by the scruff of their collar to their father and educate their father in the rules of... common decency. But nonetheless, we've developed that attitude that people can't come to God. Oh, I've got to get my life straightened up before I come to church, brother. You know, I'm sick of hearing, I have heard that so many times. Get your can in the church so you can get the word. The word is the only thing that can change you. Well, I got to quit drinking before I can come to church. It don't quite work like that. You've got to get the word in you. God can deliver you, but you're only going to have the victory over it because the word is stronger than your desire for the drink. Okay? As I shared several years ago, yeah, God delivered me instantly from alcohol. However, alcohol was still a temptation. When I'd go by, you know, and I told Angela, I said, I said, I got to get out of the landscaping area because they always do those whiskey barrels, right? Well, that was my weakness. And in the winter, when the rain would fill those things up, it smells just, it looks like whiskey, and I'm sure it tasted like whiskey because it would bring the whiskey out of those barrels. And something in me would go. I said, no, I'm getting away from this. And then one day we were out there by them. We went out in the springtime. We were looking for some flowers. And I walked by them and something different had happened. Instead of my stomach turned. It made me sick instead of being an attractant. And when that happened, it's because I'd gotten the word in me and was able to overcome it that way. Alcoholics Anonymous, without the word, is not going to help. You can have your buddies all you want, but if your buddy's not strong and he's got the word in him, you're both going to fall. The Bible says, what happens when the blind lead the blind? They both end up in the ditch. Well, I'm just a sister. No, I want to hold on to somebody who's got some strength. Somebody holding on to something solid. You know, if you're hanging on a cliff, you want to hold on to the guy who's holding on to a rock or a limb or, you know, something, a rope. You don't want to be holding on to the guy who's falling with you. That's just kind of counterproductive. The only way I think it would be somewhat productive is if you could switch spots and you were on top so he'd cushion your fall. Just saying. I mean, come on, you've heard the old story, two hunters out in the woods, and the one puts on his tennis shoes, and the other one says, what are you putting on your tennis shoes for? He says, we're going bear hunting. What do you need tennis shoes for? You can't outrun the bear. He says, I ain't got to outrun the bear. I just got to outrun you. The bear's going to stop at one of them. Anyhow, that was don't put any kind of spiritual doctrine to that. So while we were still sinners, that means while we were still habitually sinning, enjoying it, living it up, and I don't care if you weren't an alcoholic, you weren't a womanizer, you weren't the town tramp, I don't care if that's not what you were. You were still a sinner. You were self-righteous. You were a liar. You were a cheat. I promise you, your sins were probably just as stinking as the guy who crawled right out of the gutter this morning. So the Bible says that while we were still sinners, God demonstrated. The word here is love is agapeo. It's the verb for agape. That while we were still sinners, God loved us and gave us Jesus Christ to be our remission for sins. That means he gave us the victory. We'll get into some of that more. We've been talking about God's righteousness and how God's righteousness is actually his grace because it doesn't come with condemnation. God's not sitting there saying, Art, do you remember what you did 10 years ago today? There are things I remember the day. And I loathe the day. However, I don't sit there and beat myself up over it. Yeah, I made a mistake. Well, I made a stupid decision. Mistakes are usually because you didn't know. When you know, it was a stupid decision, right? Let's admit to that and carry on because a lot of people today are still, well, I made a mistake. No, if you knew better, then it's not a mistake. It was a stupid decision. Officer, it was a mistake. I saw the sign, but I didn't slow down. No, you made a stupid decision to keep speeding. If you didn't see the sign and you, I got a ticket one time. I came out of a 65 zone and I think, did it drop to 45? It was fast. And there was a motorcycle cop outside of Charlotte, North Carolina. He was sitting in the grass. I mean, in a V. You couldn't see him. And I came out of that, and apparently I had been in the 45 or 55 or whatever it was for about a mile. I didn't see any sign. Do you think that that bought me any grace? I remember hearing my recruiter one time saying, well, you know, they'll give you a little bit of a break with the haircut or if you got Marine Corps sticker or something. You know, so I put a big old Marine Corps sticker in the back of my window. You know, I was still in the Marine Corps at the time, and you know, and I made sure my military ID was on the front. But you know what? I mean, seriously, you're 4 hours from Camp Lejeune, 2 hours from Fort Bragg. They don't care. Military guys are dime a dozen. They just didn't care. So there was no mercy. And even though I told him honestly, I did not ever see a sign. It didn't buy me anything, so he looked at it as a stupid decision. I was still pleading. What was that, Jerry? He was, oh yeah. That might have been what it was. Yeah, don't let people. Yeah, we need to teach him about New Testament policy as far as the sins of the fathers. Anyhow. Let me read something to you here about the word sinners. There we are. It's an archer's term for missing the mark or a traveler leaving the familiar road and taking twisted paths that cause him to lose his way. The word denotes one devoted to sin by choice, a transgressor whose thoughts, words, and deeds are contrary to the eternal laws of God. Somebody who sees a sign that says, bridge out. I think I'm going to go down that road. I know when the creeks and all that, the rivers all flooded around here, Miss Cheryl over here said, I couldn't believe how many people would drive down and have to turn around in my driveway because they didn't believe the sign up at the end of the road. There's no road. You can't see the bridge. And because of that, people were constant. Now, we drove down there because we wanted to, we were going to, when we rode around, we thought, okay, Lord God, whose places are close to the water? And instantly, oh, yeah, Miss Cheryl, she lives down there in that bottom. So we went over there and we agreed. We'd already heard she'd pray and telling that water it couldn't come any further. And I'm telling you right now, the water was to the corner of her patio. That's as far as it ever made it. So, and that's the way it's done. Amen. We went down there and we said, Lord God, we agree in Jesus' name, but this water doesn't go any further. But there were signs that said, road out. And we drove around it because our intentions was we knew the road was out. But while we were turning around, here comes somebody else who evidently didn't believe the road was out. Now, I'm going to tell you, I don't care how big of a four-wheel drive you've got, unless you've got a deep water fording kit on it, forget it. You suck water down in your motor, you get your spark plugs wet, or you're just going to be another toy floating down the river. I've been seeing these Jeeps. Am I seeing something? There's Jeeps running around. They've got intakes for their breathers. I'm not for certain what they do about the exhaust, but oh, okay. I'd like to get my hands on one if you ever. I never got the deep water Ford. Drive under 6 feet of water. You're sitting here looking at the fish. Would like to try it one time. So, Romans is telling us that God loved us in spite of us being sinners. And because of his love was so great that he gave his only son. Now, obviously, at some point, we're going to go to John 3:16, but just not yet. Go to Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31, 3. The Lord is speaking to Jeremiah. Now, if you know anything about Israel at this time, Israel has turned its back on God. Israel is serving the idols voluntarily. Nobody had to twist Israel's arms and say, hey, you need to come worship Baal with us. They said, hey, we think we like to worship Baal. So they started doing that. Jeremiah 31, 3. It says, the Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, Yes, I have loved you with an ever-loving kind or with an everlasting kindness. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you out. God's mercy, God's love has drawn us out. It's God's love that draws us. Now, I know a lot of people want to say, you know, everybody's running out there, you're a sinner, you're going to, listen, some people will get saved because of that. And the only reason I gave my life back to the Lord was because I knew the love of God and I knew hell was real. Why? Because I was living in it. And I thought, if this is even a portion of it, I don't want to be in it. The loneliness and the separation from God. But people who are broken, people who are hurt, people who are trapped in sin are not going to come to God because you're sitting there with your Bible, pounding them on the head, telling them they're going to hell. They're going to come to God because they see the love being manifested. They see it in you. They see it in the Word that God came while we were still sinners and said, you know what? I love you. And I love you so much that I've asked my Son to come to earth and to die in your stead. That's how much God loved us. Now, back in Romans, it says nobody would die for a bad man. Would you? No. Let's be flat out honest. There's not a one of us that would step in front of a bullet for Osama bin Laden. Not a one. Jesus did. Maybe you would jump, you would step in front of a bullet for Billy Graham. Maybe you would consider it. You might do it. But the Bible says, and it goes on, I wanted you to understand exactly what, how low and degraded we were as sinners. But yet, Christ came while we were still sinners. Do you realize that just put us below an evil man? We are the bottom of the pile. That's it. We're the dung heap. That's where it placed us. And the Bible says that the Lord of creation came and gave his life so that we could have life. So we could have abundant life. John 10:10 tells us that. That we could have abundant life. That means not only is it a prosperous life in all areas, folks. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, a lot of people think that just because it says that, that you're not going to have a fight. The devil does not want you to be happy. The devil does not want you to be free. We all know the term, freedom is not free. You receive salvation freely, you're going to have to hold on and sometimes fight for that freedom. That means you're going to spend some time in prayer. You're going to spend some time fasting about some things. And you may just have to spend some time standing and saying, I'm not backing down. Why is it Tom Petty is the only one that can say, I'll stand at the gates of hell and I won't back down? The church says, oh, don't say the word hell. We don't want our children. I had somebody tell me that one time. I was talking about the literal place hell. This guy says, oh, we don't talk about hell around our kids. I want my children to know hell's real. I don't want them to get up to 18 years old and say, hey, Dad, I'm gone. I'm going to tell my son, I want you to know hell is real. I'm not talking just the plain old hell on earth. I'm talking about fire, brimstone, and the lack of the presence of God. Oop, I'm blowing my microphone apart here. You hold that. That's what we're talking about. God saved us from that. Now, in the book, Heaven is for Real, about the little boy who got to visit heaven while he was being operated on. His dad was trying to trip him up the whole time, trying to find out exactly what he saw, what he witnessed. The kid was 3 years old. I can promise you no three-year-old knows doctrine the way this kid came back and told it. I've been raised in the church. I know what we teach here. And we teach a whole lot more in depth than a lot of churches do. And this guy says, I know my son was not taught some of this stuff in Sunday school. But he said, one day, he said, he asked his daughter. His daughter was, what, seven? A couple years old. Said, why did Jesus die? And I don't think she came up with the reason. And then the little boy says, Jesus said that he died so we could be with his daddy. That's why. To draw us in, to be in God's presence. So people that think that hell is just a party place, it's not a bunch of demons and devils standing around with pitchforks and cauldrons poking you. They're in torment too. The devils are not tormentors. They are being tormented. Y'all, anybody who goes to hell, I'll rephrase that. I'm about to say y'all, but anybody who goes to hell is not going to be down there having a party with the devil. There's not going to be any big orgies, no pot smoking contests, no cold beer. Yeah. Yeah, remember the rich man and Lazarus? He said, hey, dip your finger in the lake so I can have a drop of cool water. I mean, think about that for just a moment. And that's just that side of it. How about the total separation of God? Talk about no hope. And you want to know what's really scary? You can't commit suicide and get out of it. That's it. It's the end of the line. And God said, I've come while you were still sinners so that you didn't have to do that. Now, going back to Jeremiah 31, he said, your loving kindness draws us. It's the love of God that draws us. But you know what the world sees? Again, and I've shared on this before, and this is why the world needs to understand, because they need to see in us, because they look in the Word. They don't know God. They're like the children at the bottom of the Mount Sinai. They're standing around looking at thunder and lightning and smoke. They don't know God. That's all they know is fear. But Moses, who's been up on the mountain, been in the thunder and the lightning, I wonder what it was really like. I mean, seriously. Now, I've been up in, been in some planes before. I was in a plane one time, and it was just a, it was a prop plane. It was a shoebox with wings. And it was in Jacksonville, North Carolina, and they said, you guys got to get out in the plane now. We get out there, and we ask the flight attendant, why are we in such a hurry to get off the ground? Because there's a tornado, and we're outrunning a tornado. Really? I'm in a plane that I can almost reach the other side of the plane. There's an aisle this wide. We're outrunning a tornado. So we're up in there, you know, and a jet, I'd have had a lot of more confidence in a jet. They can get out of Dodge faster. And they're a lot stronger. But this thing, I'm thinking part of it was made out of wood. And we're up in there in this storm. I mean, it's black. The rain is just beating the windows. You can see lightning off in the distance. Now, can you, and that was scary. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, there wasn't nothing wrong. Listen, tornadoes, I don't think the air is where you want to be when the conditions are right. As a matter of fact, in Jacksonville, I don't think on the ground is where you want to be. There's no basements. But to be Moses on the mountain with God and the lightning all around, I just about bet you that the flashes of light they saw was God speaking. And all the children of Israel heard was, and just like people who have developed a fear of thunder, I love thunder. It does not, boy, I can sleep. Boy, when that stuff started coming down last night, I thought, oh yeah, there's some good sleep coming tonight. And I heard that rain beating. I didn't enjoy hearing the storm come. We've had enough rain. mowing the grass 2 times a week now. But nonetheless, and the farmers need to get in the fields. But nonetheless, people who develop that fear, that's kind of what the children of Israel had. They had a fear because it can't be good. Thunder and lightning cannot be a good thing. I don't know where it developed it from, but I've never been afraid of thunder and lightning. Storm. Mom and Dad used to have to yell at us when we were kids to come in out of the storm. Hailstorm, we're trying to dodge the hailstones. Yeah, I know we were probably about that big around to a pencil trying to dodge them, but nonetheless, we weren't afraid of them. We'd stand out there, stick our hands out trying to catch hail. Oh, it's raining. You got a fishing pole in the water. Hey, it hits me, it hits me. But for the children of Israel, it was something entirely different. They didn't know God. And that's the sinners. They don't know God. All they see from God is a bunch of rules, regulations. Now, as I've been sharing with you folks, the rules and regulations, you want to know the heart of God, get in and study the law. You will start knowing what God was meaning. He had these things for a purpose. Do you not think the manufacturer knows what's good for his creation? I mean, come on. People still running around, oh, brother, you can drink all you want. I'm sorry, you cannot. Bible says, first off, wine is a mocker. Proverbs and even the New Testament tells, first off, the New Testament tells us no alcoholic, no drunkard, liar, pervert. And I'll just use the word pervert to cover all the aspects. Thief, all those things. They aren't going to enter the kingdom of heaven. Murderer, without repentance. Okay? I want you to understand, without repentance. Can you repent on your deathbed? You better believe you can. What, was that a movie we just watched? He went into the, yeah, What If. What If. Excellent movie. I thought that was a really good movie. And the guy, he decided, what if my life had been different? He walked away from his calling. It's kind of it's a wonderful life, but with a full Christian value to it. The guy is in this, he's a millionaire, he's got a $500,000 Mercedes and all this, but he walked away from the ministry. And somewhere along the line, he ends up back in his life if he had not left it. But the thing was, and while he was in his life, he got to remember what it was like to be with the presence of God and to be with God, on God's side. But anyhow, he goes into this guy who's just a sworn enemy of God. And he says, do you want to make a few religious people mad right now? You want to lead him to the Lord on his death? The guy's got minutes. You get the same pay. People don't realize that, but the problem is you got to get to the employment line first, so to speak. God died for people that get saved right on the spot just as much as he does. So, you know, when people say, well what about all these combat people? Listen, I can almost promise you, they say, first off, there are no atheists in a foxhole. There are no atheists. You can ask somebody. There's nobody in a foxhole that does not cry out to God. As a matter of fact, during Desert Shield and Desert Storm, there were revivals of people getting saved. And today, they still have got the chaplains are leading people to the Lord. There are people going over and they're leading the troops to the Lord. Well, if they got saved, they got saved. Now, what they do when they come back is their own, but those people got saved. Something about God draws them. And it's God's forgiveness, God's love. Hosea. And I better... Hosea 11:4. It's page 1269 if you got the right Bible. If not, I can't help you, sorry. Hosea 11:4. And be careful, you will flip over Hosea about 10 times. It's right next to Joel. Hosea 11:4 says, I drew them with gentle cords, with bands of love, and I was to them as those who take the yoke from their neck. I stooped and fed them. He said, I drew them in with gentle bands. I didn't grab them by the hair, the lock of the hair, and pull them in. He said, I drew them in. Very few people can actually attract a mate by being crude and rude. You can't be mean to somebody and get their attention. You lower them in, right? Ladies, you want to look good. You want to smell good. Every time, now, when Angel and I started dating, her parents had hogs. And anybody who knows anything about hogs, all you got to do is walk by the barn and you smell like it. Because it just, well, if the exhaust fan's blowing on you, you're going to get, Joshua said the other day, he said, I think I'd rather work on a hog farm than a poultry farm. And I said, well, I would too, as far as, because I can't stand the smell of poultry like that. But I said, here's the problem with hog. I said, it sticks with you. You want to buy a cheap tractor, ladies and gentlemen? Find a hog farm that's selling a tractor. It will go for about a third of its value because nobody wants it because it smells like a hog. It could be a brand new tractor, but if it stinks, it's going to stink. It took 3 years of after being completely out of a hog, working in hog farms, for my tools to air out. Tools! And I'm too cheap to go buy brand new saws and stuff again. But anyhow, he says... Well, anyhow, where I was going to was every time Angela and I had a date, she always showered. Always, and she's got a lot of hair, and she had more hair then. I'm kidding you not, it went way down here. You could stretch it out, and she had a lot of hair, but she always washed it. Because if she had been choring, she didn't want me smelling that. I lived across the road from a hog farm, so it was... We were kind of used to it. We knew when it was going to rain because they were on the south side of the road. Oh, hey, it's going to rain. How do you know that? Smell the pigs? It's going to rain. And it always did. Rain from the south because they were on the south. But anyhow, he said, I drew them in. He didn't come up and say, here, I'm going to drag you in by the hair of the head. I'm going to abuse you. I'm going to call you dirty names. And I'm just going to treat you like dirt. No, he said, I'm going to woo you. I'm going to draw you in gently. Matter of fact, most guys, and I would recommend any of you young guys who are looking to date, still dating, when you go to your girl's house, shower. Clean up. The only time I ever went to Angela's house messed up was the night I decided to take my bicycle, and I still had my bike from when I was 8. It was BMX at this point. And my brother and I had been working on this ramp idea all afternoon. And we put this bike back together. It hadn't had wheels on it for 4 years. We put these wheels back on there, and I went tearing down through there, first ride out. Got up in the air, and our driveway was gravel and went downhill, so we were getting a little more air. Went up there, and the front tire came off. Needless to say, it came down, the bike stuck, and I didn't. And down the driveway on my face I went. So I went and she's like, what happened? And I guess I lied. There's just no easy way. I wanted to tell her a tale. You know, I was like, got to make this worse than what it really is. You know, who's really seriously going to admit, okay, I'm 18, almost 19 years old. No, I was 19 years old. And I just wrecked a bicycle in the driveway. I said, my dad and I got in a fight. Oh! No, I'm just kidding. See what I'm telling you? We were all liars. Even if you're trying to tell a story. I mean, you know, I've got a nice big scar right here on my cheek. And guys in boot camp are like, man, how'd you get that thing? Because it was more prominent then. It had only been out for a year. How did you get that scar? Exactly. I got cut in a fight. I didn't tell them it was a doctor at the other end of the knife. But I did eventually say, no, I had a cyst and they took it out. But see, we're all prone to lying. I still got cut. I won't go down the road if any of us ask if next time we get our license renewed. I remember one time they said, is that your correct weight? It was 20 years ago, but yeah. I ain't been 130 pounds for 10 years. Finally, I upped it. That's what I'm saying. It's just those things. We're all prone to it. We all have the capability, whether we're kidding or not. Okay? Now, just so you know, I told the truth on all those. Anyhow, where was I? I drew them with gentle cords, with bands of love, and I was to them as those who take the yoke from their neck. He said, I was like the one, you know, I've never wore a yoke. Let's just imagine, though, that you're a plow horse. And you've been out in the field all day, and your shoulders are sore. Your neck is sore. And that farmer comes up, and he takes that yoke up off your neck. I've never personally seen what happens, but here's what I imagine a horse does. He shakes his head and his shoulders. And he loves you right then at that moment. He was hating you when you first put the thing on. But boy, when you took that yoke off of him, he loved you. You were his best friend in the world. That's the way God is. We hated him in the beginning. But boy, when he reached up and he took that yoke off, and we shook ourselves and we realized there's no more pressure. One of the first things part of the reason it was the only reason I didn't like forced marches was because you had to put everything you owned in a pack and go for a walk. And personally, it always got into my nerves. I don't know about you guys. It always cut into my nerves right here in my shoulder, and I'd get a headache. And man, about halfway through it, 10 miles into the thing, my head's throbbing. I got shin splints. And I'm madder than a hornet. My feet are bleeding. And I'm thinking, why did I join the Marine Corps? Why did I join the Marine Corps? The Navy doesn't do this. The Air Force doesn't do this. But boy, I'll tell you what, there was nothing greater than when we got done and they said, drop your packs. They got these little quick release things. I don't care if I had valuables in that bag. It was dropping, man. Flak jacket coming off. The helmet came off. And if it weren't for the fact you'd have done push-ups until Jesus returned, I'd have thrown the rifle. Everything else you could throw. The rifle you didn't. That's what God did for us. He was the person who came and lifted that burden from us so that we didn't have to feel that condemnation anymore. That's what we celebrate. That's why we live. That's what we do. Every day we get up, Lord, I thank you for today. I don't care if there's a thunderstorm out there. Your attitude of gratitude is what's going to move things. Now, turn to John chapter 3. See, I told you he was going to get to John. John chapter 3. Go to verse 14. While you're doing that, I'm going to... John 3:14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Okay, he was talking about being on the cross. That whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. They're already condemned. Why do you think they're fighting you when you come tell them? You're preaching at them instead of preaching to them about the love of God. You've always heard the saying, you'll catch more flies with honey. Well, honey or something that flies are attracted to. But it's got to be something they're attracted to, okay? Flies are not attracted to insect repellent. You can get your can of flying insect spray and spray it, and the flies are going to go away. But if you get a can of cherry, sweet cherry glaze, set it up on the thing, you will start attracting everything, including ants. But that's how we are with God. We're attracted because God said, I'm not condemning you. I'm not going to keep you under that burden any longer. You are free. You can be who I want you to be. Well, that doesn't sound... Listen, God has already predestined in you what he wants you to be. It's in there.
Well, that means I got to change all my...
You just think that's what you want. The truth of the matter is, what you're called to be is something else. Yeah, God let me run around and do some things on my own, but he also knew that at that point I had to learn, and that's when I learned. So, Pastor, what are you saying about? Listen, seminary wasn't going to do me any good. Was not going to do me a bit of good. First off, I hated sitting in classrooms. But what God did, though, was he said, you don't like that, you're going to have to learn another way. And there's only one way I can teach you what you're going to need to know. 4 years in the Marine Corps and 2 years in a church in North Carolina. 6 years of schooling. The rest of it's been life. I also think you have to live life in order to be able to understand some. Okay? I don't know. I have this slight confusion with a priest who does not know what it's like to have children or what it's like to have a wife giving marriage counseling. You don't have a stinking clue what it's like to be married. He's only saying amen out loud because Jenny's not here right now. Ladies, it's the same deal. You don't know what it's like to have a husband. How are you telling me what it's like? Oh, but I'm married to Christ. No, 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 no. We're talking totally different. We're not talking about Christ. We are talking about Adam. We're talking about the one who caused the problems. Anyhow. So the Bible then tells us, let me read about the word love. The word here is the word. Let me get back to where I was at. My Bible turned pages on me. It is the word agapeo. It means unconditional love, love by choice, and by an act of the will. The word denotes unconquerable benevolence and undefeatable goodwill. Agapeo will never seek anything but the highest good for fellow mankind. It will never seek anything but the very best of what you and I are obtained, can achieve. That's what God wants for us. It's the very best. So when he says, when Jesus said in Matthew 5, don't think the law is done away with. I just came to fulfill it. He came to reveal. That's what the word means. I came to reveal the law. I came to show you the heart of God. You want to know the heart of God? Get in there. Because nowhere does it tell you to treat your neighbors badly. Nowhere does it tell you to treat other people badly. And nowhere does it say that you have to be treated badly. Now, there are times that we have to take our licks. But if you get in there and people got into the law and they started understanding, hey, you know what? If, and this was one of the deals, I shared this a couple weeks ago on a different story, but if my cattle go over into Phil's pasture field that he's set aside for his cattle and they eat his pasture field clean, oh, well, you shouldn't have had your pasture field so close to mine. No, the law said I have to pay him what the value of the pasture field was. Or if my bull gets out and goes over and breeds his cows. Make sure you understand bulls don't breed bulls. You got some goofy cartoons out there now. You got one, Back to the Barnyard or the Barnyard movie. You got Otis. I love the show, except Otis is a bull cow. He's got udders. Try explaining that to a 5-year-old. No, Mommy, this is Otis. No, this is a cow. This is a female. Otis is a boy. It's wrong. Evidently, Steve Odekirk has never been on a real farm. Anyhow. Agapeo, the verb, and agape, the noun, are the words for God's unconditional love. It does not need a chemistry, an infinity, or a feeling. Agapeo is the word that exclusively belongs to the Christian community. It is a love virtually unknown to the writers outside the New Testament. That's why the world don't understand it. Well, why are you so different? It's because do you understand the love of God? That's why I would give this up. That's why I give up my life. If God has to take things from you, you're being a selfish, spoiled brat. You're not being an obedient child. The Bible says it's better to obey than to sacrifice. Oh, but Lord, this is my sacrifice. He doesn't want your sacrifice of praise. He wants your obedience. Come in obediently and praise Him. Worship Him. If He's got to pull it out of you, if I got to pull discipline or obedience out of my children, how long do you think it's going to be before the hammer falls? Usually around my house, not very long. I'm as the centurion. When Jesus, he came to Jesus, he said, no, you don't need to come to my house. I'm a man under authority, and I say to this one, come, and he comes. When I tell my boys to move, they don't move. Put some fire in it, boy. Pick those feet up and set them down. You need to get from here to there. Don't be dragging your feet mumbling. Don't be having a conversation with people that aren't listening. Just get over there and get back and then have the conversation. Does it sound familiar to anybody? So God wants us to be demonstrators of His love. We will do this. Lord, I will do this. I will do what you put the call in my life. You may know the call in your life a lot sooner than I did. A lot of it's based on our obedience and our willingness to hear. If we're not willing to hear, and sometimes God doesn't tell you, like I know in my case, I believe God did not tell me right off the bat what he had in store for me. Now, as I look back, he did over the few years, over from about the time I was 16 on, he started telling me, and later on I learned that other people had seen it, but just never said anything. And so, but I believe the reason God held off on telling me, I'd be in Alaska right now. I'd have run. I'd have been the prodigal son without any dowry to go with it. Anybody going to Alaska? And I was a senior, that's where I wanted to go. I thought, boy, Alaska would be the great place. Do you know what? Let's stop and think about this for just 1 minute. Okay, they had winter advisories in Montana last week. There's still snow on the ground in the Dakotas. Do you know where Alaska is in conjunction with all that? Way up there. I was in Alaska in April one year, in 1990. In April. I looked out the airport there in Juneau, or in Anchorage, I'm sorry, not Juneau. It was Anchorage we flew into. Looked out the windows. You know what I saw? White. I just left the sunny beaches of California. Do you know where I've determined that what heaven is like? The sunny beaches of California. Because from that point on, the Marine Corps kept me in every warm climate they could. And I loved it. I was like, oh, thank you, Lord. I got Okinawa. Then I go to the Philippines in the middle of the winter and it's 95 degrees. Jacksonville, North Carolina, okay, it got a little cooler over there. Still better than Alaska, where they start getting snow in September. We had to finally stop Miss Monica from praying. Lord, I love those snows, she says. One more snow, Lord. Okay, Lord, you got to quit answering Monica's prayers. But isn't it great? We're all different. We are all different. Man, how boring would it be if we were all the same? We look like clones. We all shaved our beards the same way. We all wore the same haircut. Let's put a bowl on our head. How boring would it be if God just said, you know what? I'm going to make you all the same. I mean, come on. If that's the case, we'd all be wearing red today. I said red because there's more red in here today than anything. I walked in with this tie and somebody said, hey, it must be a red convention. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Power day,
yeah. But God wants us to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that kindness draws people in. Loving kindness. That's not, by the way, the word agapeo means also that it does not consider the value of something. Are you understanding me? God did not consider our value. How many times have you said, it's just not worth it? It's just not worth it anymore. I quit. Or you had an opportunity for an investment and you thought about it and you said, it's just not worth the risk. When God looked down and he saw the state of mankind, he said, Jesus, it's time. He did not look down and say, only 3 million people out of 3 billion are going to serve me. It's not worth it. No, he didn't. He looked down and he said, I will take the risk that whosoever would believe on Jesus Christ would be saved. That's all it is. So that's why I tell you, you ladies that are believing for your husbands to get saved, hold on. It's worth the risk. It's worth the stand. You're believing for somebody else in your family to get saved. It's worth the stand. But don't ever take the value of that into consideration. It's always worth it. Your neighbor, I don't care who it is, what it is. to do the right thing, it's worth it. It's always worth it. And by doing so, ladies and gentlemen, that's the loving kindness. See, you can't go die for somebody. Now, military, yeah, you can go die for freedom, but you know what? Can I tell you a little something? They don't go to the plans to die. They go with the plans to live. And we need to carry on. Jesus came with the plans to die and live. And in that order. Live, die, live. He ended it up living so that we'd understand He wants us to live. Yeah, we die to ourselves, okay? Because why? Because our flesh wants to say, I want to take the easy road. Does anybody ever think the easy road is easy? But it's costly. Oh, yeah. Boy, it's a lot smoother. I'm on 30, actually, outside of between Galleon and Mansfield. You're riding the right lane. And there's a couple chuck holes in that road now. I told Joshua the first time he let him drive on it, I said, get in this left lane. Why? I said, because you're not going to knock my truck out of alignment hitting all them stupid potholes. It's already, I got to go have it realigned now because I hit a pothole out here on Iberia Street. It was as big as my truck. You know that one? I unfortunately had a trailer and his truck on the back of the trailer and it pushed me right into it. Like, but yeah, the road is easier. And the road less traveled actually turns out to be the best. That's our road. Why? Because it's ordained by God. So let's be the example to the world of God's loving kindness. Let's not take in consideration, you're worth it, you're not worth it, you're not worth it. Come on. We're all worth it. God looked down and He said, you know what, Gloria, you're worth it. Harold, you're worth it. Barbie, you're worth it. Tyler, you're worth it. You're worth everything it's going to cost me. As I was sharing the other day about the condemnation that Jesus felt, think about the condemnation you have felt from your past. Now, multiply that by however many billions of people have existed on earth. Why do you think Jesus looked up to God and said, "Why have you forsaken me?" But He said, "It is worth it." He carried it all the way through. And all because, for God so loved the world. Let's stand this morning. This country's worth it. This world is worth it. Yeah, I know, the world's going to fight going to go to hell in a handbasket. When you were a sinner, didn't you fight for your right to party? Isn't that what we used to do? It's my right. Well, you know what? It is my right, but not doesn't mean it's right. And doesn't mean I'm exactly the smartest utensil in the pencil drawer. Never mind. I have been having a wave of those really bad, the one comedian called them Heatherisms, so that's what they'll be called from now on, is Heatherisms. His wife was always messing them up. Yeah. I had a real rough day yesterday after, what was it I told you to go get? The shovel and sweep the carport. Here's the scary part. He said, I knew what you meant. And then I said something else. Yeah. Oh, I said, yeah, don't. I told him something. I had my motorcycle parked over kind of where Angela has backed into my truck before. And I said, well, I probably ought to go move my truck into the garage. He's like, what? And he said, Dad, do you think it's maybe time? Or no, he said, how long have you been up? So I woke up at 5:30 yesterday morning, so I did lay back down, but that was after about 4 hours of sleep, so I needed a few more. So nonetheless, it came a point where things just weren't, and I think that's where I'm at. So let's pray. I want to remind you again about War on the Floor today at 4:30. We are seeing God move, folks. God is moving miraculously in people's lives. He's doing things, and he's doing it because we ask it in love. Okay? We can sit here and say, Lord God, give me $1 million. I can about promise you, you're not just going to get $1 million. But if you say, Lord, this is the need. We need to do this. And when it's time, it'll be there. We're still calling in the money. We're still believing the money to do this connection, refinish this middle section into new classrooms. But I'm not sweating it. I'm not worrying about it. I'm not getting a loan from the bank to do it. When it's time, it's there. When it was time for this, I've told you before, $3,000 is what we had. If you don't understand how little $3,000 goes around, go buy a full bundle of 2x4s. Go buy 14-foot sheets of drywall. You go buy some of that stuff and then watch. But God brought it in because it was the right time. And when he's on your side, well, I found it so much easier to fight when he's on your side instead of fighting against God. Anybody ever fought against God on things? Lord God, why isn't this working? Might be because you're fighting against the author and the finisher of our faith. And the author has said, that doesn't happen until 2 chapters down the road. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for today. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Jesus Christ. The word became flesh. That he came, he died, and he rose again victoriously and giving us the victory over sin as well. Lord, I thank you. There is now no condemnation to those who love you. Father, I thank you that you've delivered us, you've healed us, you've saved us, you've removed that yoke from us. Lord, right now, I thank you that this word is setting in all of us, Lord, and that we will all see ways that instead of browbeating people, that we can show them loving kindness and draw them to you. You said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Lord, help us to lift you up in the spirit that you came in of love, not based on the merit or the value of someone or something, but based on the fact that we love. Father, we know that many people spend more love on their pets than they do on other humans. Lord, I pray that you help us all, first off, to set our priorities straight. That no vehicle, no event, no animal, no house, no structure, no nothing is more important than your creation of mankind. Lord, I thank you for these people right now. I pray that you bless them. Lord God, pour your love out in their lives. Father, that everywhere they go, people are going to know that they are Christians. Not because they got the word blaring 10 hours out of the day. Not because that they're standing up in their chair in their office cubicle preaching. Or they're shouting hallelujah every 2 minutes, but because your love permeates from them, Lord God. Your love goes before them. When they walk in a room, the love of God is felt. Lord, I thank you right now that you're healing bodies, you're restoring our minds, our spirits, And Lord, again, I pray that you bless the work of our hands this week. Cause all we do for good to prosper. And Lord, we thank you right now for dry weather, Lord. For the rapid recession of water. So, Lord God, that the farmers can get into the fields. In Jesus' name, amen.